At our customer's request, this conference will be recorded.
Good afternoon, everybody. Good morning to our U.S.-based audience. This is Christian Teig, CFO from CompuGroup, hosting the second quarter 2012 conference call. As normal procedure is, we will have a presentation that will probably this time last about 15 minutes, and then we will go on to a Q&A session. We now step into the presentation. The first slide, which is here named number two, we see the key figures of the second quarter 2012. The second quarter continues the good start we had to the year in Q1. Organic growth was 8%, 7% at constant exchange rates, and operating margin 23%, which is pretty much spot on what we had in terms of growth and profitability in Q1. The year-on-year comparison looks very flattering, but is mostly driven by special effects last year. Notwithstanding this, we are overall pleased and encouraged by the broad-based progress we have made and how we have performed in this quarter. If we move to the next slide, slide number three, we look a bit more closely at the profitability, and we now feel that we are well established in the 22 to 23% operating margin range. The dip we had in the first half last year is now more and more a distant memory, and the real question is probably how we can continue to improve and gradually move profitability even higher. But first, we need to sum up the quarter, Q2 2012, and we start out with the usual housekeeping items. Moving then on to slide number four. Here is the picture on costs of goods and gross margin. It's absolutely no surprises here, with a gross margin of 82%, which confirms the stable and consistent revenue mix and business model also for this quarter. And as we see from the slide, this has been pretty much the stable picture over many years. Moving then to slide five, personnel expenses. Here there may be a bit more explaining needed why this went down Q1 to Q2. There is no single reason, but the main drivers are the winding down of the Lower Fisher Service Center in Hahn, cost improvements that are coming through from the integration process of the business in Holland. Also, there is a variable salary component built into our overall cost structure, and we have this quarter somewhat lower sales commissions in the communication and data business, and there are smaller efficiency improvements other places. I guess due to some variable component in salaries, the personnel expenses will just normally have some fluctuations from quarter to quarter. And, you know, the current level, which is about 50 million plus per quarter, is where we are at the current size of our business. Moving on to slide six, the other expenses, they are closely linked to the personnel expenses. We are a people-driven business, and our costs are really fully driven by the people that we employ. In terms of other expenses, they are around a normal level, which is about 30% of other expenses relative to personnel expenses. And this is a typical level for periods when we do not have a lot of M&A activity going on. Moving on to slide seven, operating cash flow. This is also very predictable. We get most of our operating cash in Q1 due to prepayments of maintenance contracts, which are then accrued over the subsequent quarters. Specifically for this quarter, the year-on-year improvement is just mostly due to the higher income in Q2 2012 relative to last year. Moving then on to slide 8, CapEx. We did not do any acquisitions in this quarter, and CapEx is at a normal level, say, other than the tail end of the new HQ construction in Koblenz, which is the 1.2 under office buildings and property. Again, other than this, we are at very normal levels in terms of CapEx for fixed and intangible assets. Moving on to slide 9, the balance sheet. The only real change is that we have paid a dividend and lowered the cash balance further by offsetting against revolving credit facilities. Despite the dividend paid, good earnings have increased equity since Q1, and equity ratio has gone up 2 percentage points during this last quarter. Slide 10, as an introduction to the details of our business segments, we follow the new segmentation for 2012 with HPS 1, HPS 2, and HCS, with keen focus on the underlying subsegments, which I will go through in some detail in the coming slides. Starting that off with slide 11, it's for the overall revenue development. We can see that HPS is a driver of growth year on year, whereas sequentially there is actually little change except for some areas in HCS, which I will get back to in the coming slides. Slide 12, out of the 27% year-on-year growth, 19% comes from acquisitions and 8% is organic growth. The acquisitions are all in HPS 1 and are listed here for the second quarter. We are happy with how these businesses are developing, and even though not reflected in the consolidated group figures, there is good progress and underlying growth also in these companies acquired. For example, in Laue Fischer, the growth year on year was 6% organically, which is a good growth figure for this type of business. Slide 13, IS development. IS continues on its long-time positive trajectory. It is a stable and highly profitable business with significant growth potential from upselling to existing customers. In a quarter like this, we have almost 80% recurring service fees, which just underpins the visibility and robust nature of this business. The U.S. business is also on a growth path, and in this quarter also lifted by stronger dollar to euro exchange rates. Moving on to the pharmacy business, slide 14. The pharmacy business displays many of the same characteristics of the AIS business, with a high proportion of recurring revenue and solid profitability. And the second quarter was certainly a good quarter for this business. Moving on to slide 15, the hospital business performed really well in Q2. The stronger than expected growth comes from really robust demand for software upgrades and professional services in Austria, which is important, a big part of our hospital business, but continued successful progress in markets like Poland, Switzerland, and also in the Middle East. So overall, a very good quarter, probably a bit more than what we expected for the hospital business. Moving on to slide 16, workflow and decision support, then having also moved on to HCS. There is currently much less going on compared to the HPS business. Workflow and decision support had a relatively uneventful period with no significant new developments. You know, and growth in products and services in this area to health insurance companies, predominant in Germany, continues at a relatively small, slow pace. Moving then on to the next slide, slide 17, for communication and data. The quarterly results as such may not be so intriguing with a flat year-on-year development. After the strong Q1, this business returned to a more normal demand situation here in Q2. And more interesting is the picture going forward. As some of you might know, this business is under tight regulation in Germany with software certification rules to follow that govern the products and services that we can offer to our customers. Going forward, we have moved into a new set of software certification rules that are expected to reduce the revenue in communication and data with approximately 1.5 million euros per quarter going forward. Important to note. However, moving then on to slide 18, I think the development in communication and data must be seen in more of an overall context. This area, communication and data, drug prescribing databases, and also the IS business are all closely related. And in the last year, we have worked hard to launch a new generation of drug database in Germany, the EFAP Praxis Center 3. This is a great boost to the functionality of our AIS systems with a lot of advanced workflow and decision support utilities for drug prescribing. And why is this important? I can then move on to slide 19. It's important because in the context of the communication and data business, the progress of drug databases and the certification rules that change from time to time, we can also respond to these changes by adapting the business model. And we have done so for the IS business. Following the new certification rules, we have introduced a maintenance increase to our approximately 44,000 customers or 70,000 doctors in Germany. Also, the IPC3, the new prescribing drug database, will now also carry a charge to those physicians using it who use AIS software from competing vendors. We have a very high market share in terms of drug prescribing databases in Germany and cover not only our own AIS customers, but also a lot of the rest of the market. And to make a long story short, the price increase, making some assumptions as to which versions will be taken by the customers, will plus or minus cover the revenue loss in communication and data. So on group level, we will continue, say, unchanged. However, there will be a shift in terms of revenue from HCS and communication and data to AIS going forward. And these new prices and the new business model will be effective beginning in the fourth quarter of this year. Moving on to slide 20, the US business. Here are some headlines regarding that. Three points that we want to highlight. One is that the positive trend from the first quarter continues. Depending on how you want to see it, 5% or 16% in euros year-on-year organic growth. And margins with some additional efficiency improvements are creeping upwards in the right direction. In terms of order bookings, that's also what you see on these on the figure. has remained more or less at the same level as last year and really has been no significant upswing or development compared to the first quarter. Last point is that we certainly see opportunities increasing both from our own capabilities and also from the overall market. We are responding to that with a gradual but clear increase of our sales force to manage the business in the U.S. for more growth in the second half of 2012. So putting all of this together, we are now on to slide 21, the guidance. We certainly had a good first 6 months to 2012. And the way we now see business going forward, it's highly likely that we will end up in the higher part of the original guidance range that we provided at the beginning of the year. And we just narrow the guidance then to the upper half of the range, which means that we now expect revenue for 2012 to be in the range of 450 to 460 million euros and the EBITDA to be in the range of 100 to 105. And judging by the estimates and the research that I have seen, this really should be no surprise to anyone. So that concludes the review of the second quarter 2012. We now go on to the, I guess before we do the Q&A session, just a reminder on page 22 that the third quarter results will be presented as usual slightly late, but it is for a good reason. It is because we combine this with the great trade fair of Medica in Düsseldorf. This year we will do all of this on November 14th, and I encourage all listeners who have an interest and can make it to take the trip to see us live in color at the Medica in Düsseldorf to not only hear about the third quarter but also to get a closer look at feature presentations and to meet maybe also a broader population of CompuGroup people. So again, all of you are welcome at the Medica in Düsseldorf. Then we move into the Q&A session. Procedure is as normal. You press star 1 on your telephone and you will be queued up for questions.
First one, please.
Hello, it's Andreas Wolf, Warburg Research. Couple of questions. Christian, could you maybe remind me of what the constant currency growth rate was in the US in Q1, just to see how this business evolves? And what do you expect in terms of EBITDA margin for the second half of the year? And second would be on the tax rate for this year. It's pretty low compared to previous years if I look at the run rate. So is it fair to assume that this tax rate might be around 26-27% in H2 as well, or should we approximate 30%, 31% for the remainder of the year? Question number three is regarding the 25,000 external doctors. How much have you included into your plans of these doctors? How many doctors do you expect will subscribe to the new model? And this was basically it for the first round. Thank you.
Okay, so the two questions on the U.S. The constant currency growth Q1 was 6%, so comparable to the second quarter. That was Q1. In terms of margins in the U.S., we haven't made a hard promise or guidance on this, but we have provided, say, our ambitions for the year, and we've always said that we have an ambition that we would exit 2012 on group level margins. This would imply that we would have, say, around 23% margins in the fourth quarter in the US. Again, it's not a hard promise, but it's something to measure up against. We certainly would need some growth to achieve this. But again, this is what we plan for, and our target for the year. Tax rates, I would in all models just use 30%. Again, there are many moving parts onto how you calculate tax rates under IFRS, and you might see some leveling out on the tax rate in the second half. So you know, the theoretical tax rate of CompuGroup is almost exactly 30%. It's something like 29 point something. But again, I would just use 30% as the tax rate. As for the external doctors on IPC3, we have included a little bit, probably not the full potential. Again, these changes have happened relatively quickly. We are in a very constructive and good dialogue, say, with the partners that we have that bundle our drug prescribing database with their products. And the true answer is that we don't really know how much will flow through after, say, the some of it is kept also by our partners. So I guess we've been a little bit careful, but I you know, the upside is, I would say, not of a significant magnitude, but I think the number that we have ended up with, saying that putting everything together, we would cover the revenue loss in communication data, is a safe assumption.
Okay, thank you.
Hey, Christian, it's Uwe from Deutsche.
Hey, Uwe.
Couple of quick ones are mainly housekeeping, really. So was surprised to see that the personal expenses actually notched down by quite a bit in the quarter. Was Q1 just exceptionally high, or would you say Q2 was exceptionally low, or is 51, 52-ish million now, assuming no acquisitions, the run rate we should model going forward? First one. Second one, I also thought that basically the same was true for interest expenses. Particular reason, sorry if you already explained that, I was a bit late on the call. So interest expenses in Q2, particularly low, I thought. Again, what would be your best guess as to where we would be heading going forward? And the last housekeeping item was, I think if I saw correctly, was there an add back on the amortization? Again, sorry if you already alluded to that. I would just be happy if you could clarify that for Q2. I think there was an add back on the amortization, and I presume this would be due to longer lifetime of capitalized software. Thanks.
Yeah, so personnel expenses, again, on the call, I highlighted some drivers on why this actually went down Q1 to Q2. You know, there is always some accruals made and assumptions made, and probably if you look at the difference between Q1 and Q2, there may be some, say, exaggeration that we made some provisions, accruals in Q1 that we could pinpoint more exactly in Q2 and were released. So probably a good assumption going forward is the average between the two quarters. But again, yeah, there are some, say, effects going on that are systematic. One is, say, the tail end of the new structure of Lauer Fischer, which will operate at a lower cost base. It is the integration of the businesses in Holland. I'm not going to give you an exact number, but probably, again, a little bit of leveling out between Q1 and Q2, but Q2 is probably closer to the going forward figure than Q1. In terms of interest expenses, in the report we have quite a detailed breakdown on how these arise. I think the expense on the loan facilities that we have is pretty clear. We pay, including accrued expenses, you know, between 4.5%, a little bit more percent. So that's, you know, pure mathematics. I think the moving parts that change the picture a little bit is, of course, that there are some effects from intercompany loans in that we hold some of our subsidiaries and in particular the U.S. business through in company internal debt rather than equity. And then the mechanics of that when you get changes in currency exchange rates is that you get, say, charges or credits to interest, expense, and income. And of course, this quarter we have seen the euro going weak relative to the dollar, and the effect from that is, say, lower interest expense and higher or financial expense and higher financial income. But again, there is a table in the financial report that hopefully will detail this clearly. The third question, amortization, this is correct, and we've also slightly increased the full year guidance. It's not related to self-developed software, it's related to the finalization of the purchase price allocation for Lowe & Fisher. You start with a provisional PPA and then you have 12 months to finalize it, which means that by now it is final. And compared to the provisional or initial PPA, some assets have gone up and some assets have gone down. The sum remains the same. And the assets that have increased have a shorter time life or lifetime than what was in the initial PPA, which means that you just get a higher PPA amortization. And again, that's why you get the difference between Q1 and Q2, and also a run rate which is slightly higher than what we previously communicated.
Thanks. One last, please. It's now the fourth quarter, if I counted correctly, where your performance has become very good, actually, and with 22-23% margins. Any potential excuses that you could already see on the horizon for a weaker margin in the very near term? Or would you say that indeed the 23% margin, as indeed you guided, would also be the level for the next two quarters, i.e. there is no deviation between the quarters? And basically, I would say the second part of that question, you stick obviously to the very long-term guidance of going back to, was it 30% for EBITDA? To that extent, would you say that in 2013 you would be ready to take the next step towards that level? And or what would be the level of the step function basically towards getting the 30%? In other words, is there a timeline that you would now be able to stick to that? Thanks.
So first, are there any excuses? Short answer is no. Obviously, one thing to be aware of is that in communication and data, the step down of revenue will happen already in the third quarter, whereas the stepping up of the AIS adapted business model will happen in the fourth quarter. It's not a big figure, but for detailed modeling, that's something to keep in mind. But it's not an excuse, it's just a fact, and it's built into how we see the business going forward. And then to the big question, we've been very clear that we see our business long-term to support operating margins of 30%. And of course, everybody, I guess, almost including ourselves, want to know when. I think it's unlikely that we would step all the way up next year, even though nobody would want that more than us. It is a gradual process. That's how we manage the businesses. We do not provide any guidance, but given everything we've said, certainly we would expect margins to be higher in 2013 compared to 2012. How much higher, I cannot say now. But certainly higher, but not 30%. Hopefully that's precise enough for what you wanted from the question.
Certainly I did. Thanks.
Gunnar Kurs, Berenberg Bank. Also a couple of questions from my side, if I may. Again, maybe on the financial result, you already elaborated on the kind of, you know, more extraordinary items in the Q2. But is it fair then to assume, if you look in your statement, that the interest rates are roughly 4 million per quarter, so we basically kind of not assume any further kind of changes in currencies or whatsoever. The run rate in terms of your interest expenses is roughly 4 million per quarter. Would be the first question. Second question, I'm afraid again on personal cost, but it's obviously also your largest cost item. You already mentioned kind of what the level going forward, but that means basically in percentage of sales, this will further decline because this is the most important driver for your margin expansion for the whole group, as I understand it. If you could confirm, that would be very much appreciated. Communication and data, this 1.5 million loss in terms of sales per quarter, I assume this will already start then in Q3, and if I got it right, you will start kind of to expect to compensate it in terms of higher revenues than in IIS because you are selling it to the deductors from Q4 onwards, if you could also confirm this. And then finally on the US, you are pretty optimistic for the second half of the year. You said you expect a further acceleration of sales growth, and that will also help you to achieve a higher margin in the second half of the year, particularly towards the end of the year. So what is your kind of optimism based on? So is this kind of, you know, have certain order backlog in terms of EHR requests, or is it generally the environment which is improving economically? If you could here elaborate a bit, that would be very helpful. Thank you.
So the first, the financial result run rate 4 million, check, confirmed. Say all other additions and subtractions are really not systematic and driven mostly by currency exchange rate changes. Personnel costs as a percentage of sales going down, yes. This is the single most important, say, ratio to say, stick to the margin answer that I provided to Uwe Schupp. So certainly, I think the only thing is that, you know, it's not something that will 100% be systematic sequentially quarter by quarter. Again, we have variable components in our salaries, so certainly when we come to the end of the year and we have strong, usually strong revenue in the fourth quarter, there will be some effects, you know, based on bonuses and variable salary components going there. But overall, there should now be a trend with personnel costs as a percentage of sales going down. Third question, communication and data. I confirm what you say. The 1.5 loss will already be in Q3, whereas the compensating AIS revenue will begin in Q4. Optimism in the US. I think this is driven by knowing that we do the right things. We do not see this as big changes in the market. We see the market now as being relatively stable and predictable. I think you can also see this in how our peers in the US report. And you will see that some do well and some do not so well. And that is driven by individual performance. There is a lot of focus on how well products are suited to the market, how popular they are, and how they are rated, and of course quality of sales force and support functions, everything which is the operational excellence of individual companies. And I can only say that for every day we make progress, and we are encouraged by quality of products and service that we offer. We can measure this and see that we just provide better products and better service to our clients, how we measure, monitor, drive our sales force, you know, sum it all up. And, you know, this is reason to be optimistic that there's not going to be a revolution, but a gradual positive development, which will capture growth opportunities that are special in the U.S. compared to all other markets that we are in. So, you know, do we see this trend, for example, in sales? Well, there wasn't a big trend in Q2. We had a good start in July. But there is an element, say, of uncertainty in this. And as I said, it's not a hard part of our guidance. We should keep in mind that on group level, U.S. business is about 10% of revenues, of course. But it is important. We have long-term ambitions in the U.S. And I think we see going from the first half of 2012 into the second half as, say, a mild changing point. You know, we have ticked off so many boxes of, say, issues from the past, and now it really is a lot of growth focus, and all logic put together, there is reason to be conservatively optimistic on how this will develop.
Okay, thank you very much. Maybe one final question in terms of your drug base, your new drug base. I mean, are you going to charge your own customers, your doctors in Germany, in addition? So is this in addition of the normal maintenance contracts, or will it be part of the maintenance contracts? You then simply increase prices for the maintenance?
It's the second part. It's same maintenance contract and a price increase of that. No change.
So overall, I probably would assume, given that this is obviously you won't compensate some 6 million, it's only then a slight increase in their maintenance price, right?
Yes. So this was communicated out in June, and I think the reception has been, as expected, with understanding, and again, it's a very reasonable response to regulatory changes.
All right. Thank you very much.
Hi, Christian. This is Henrik from HSBC.
Hi, Henrik.
Well, most of my questions have already been answered, so I just have two minor follow-ups. First of all, is regarding the U.S., to which extent is the expansion of your U.S. sales force already reflected in your Q2 figures, i.e. in terms of revenues and costs? And second question, just to make sure for the modeling regarding your communication and data, original assumption for the full year was flat growth, so can we now assume with these 1.5 million less per quarter that growth for the full year will come down consequentially?
So for the first, given that this is a gradual process, I would say, most of these expenses were into Q2, and even if we hired 5 or 10 new salespeople, it's, you know, out of 3,500 something people, it's not going to be any big step up that you need to model. And the second part is yes, it's now unlikely that we would be able to keep revenues flat on communication and data, and that year on year, if you just take, say, the second half last year, you know, a neutral assumption would just take that number and subtract 3 million, and there is a good estimate for the revenue figure.
All right, thanks.
Andreas Wolf, once again, two quick ones. How do you see your pipeline for the HIS business developing, given the debt crisis in Europe? Second, on communication data regarding your pharmacy business, do you see any changes for your previous plans when you acquired Lauer Fischer due to the regulation changes that we now saw in Germany? Thank you.
HIS pipeline, I say, is good, and we do not feel a lot of, say, external pressure or disturbances. The reason why I'm saying that slightly slower than normal is probably because I want to give some credit to my colleagues in these areas, because I know that we do take a high proportion of the available business out there, higher than our market share. I'd like to highlight a market like Poland, where we have about a 25% market share, and according to our analysis, we capture between 50 and 75% of business out there. So I guess overall, this is an area where you might see some scaling back on public sector spending. But the markets that we are in, you know, Austria, Poland, are all fairly robust parts of Europe. And again, we are performing well. And this is reflected in a good pipeline. But of course, the HIS business needs that because the recurring proportion is smaller. It's not as, say, rock solid and completely bomb-proof compared to the IS and PCS business. But again, we are well established with good products and really good people, and I think we are in good shape for the next, yeah, say, 6 to 12 months at least. And then, of course, it's a perpetual job to continue that success. Communication and data and the plans we have for PCS, no change to that plans. I guess we were sufficiently, not vague, but careful in how we stated our ambitions. Nothing has changed regarding this. It takes time to launch, say, new products and services in all areas, and this is no exception. But our plans, ambitions, and the benefits that we see that we can provide are unchanged.
Thank you.
Christian, we are finished now with the question list.
Very well. Then thank you, everybody, for listening in. And again, hopefully we will see each other, as many as possible, at the Medica at the 14th of November. Bye-bye.
Your conference has ended. Goodbye.